Welcome to Las Vegas. We are here at NBA Summer League, and welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols. I am here with Kendrick Perkins, and we've got a voice from Los Angeles, Mr. Stephen A. Smith, joining us as well. We got a jam-packed show today, and you know, guys, that they say follow the money. So we're going to start with the dollar-dollar bills that Mavs all-star Luka Doncic just collected, signing a five-year, $207 million Supermax extension. And remember, Luka's just 22. So normally, even a max extension for someone his age would not be eligible to be a Supermax, but because he has twice been voted first-team All-NBA, he got the extra cash. And earlier today, Luka talked about his new deal. Take a listen.
It's a really special moment here. Obviously, thank you to Dallas for offering me this. I still kind of don't know what to say because I never imagined this happening. I was only dreaming of only playing in the NBA, and now I can sign an extension with Dallas Mavericks for five more years, which I never had a doubt of it. I always wanted to sign this.
Perk, Luka is a legit baller, but the Mavs do have yet to win a playoff series with him. What does this mega deal mean for the Mavs going forward?
Oh, it means everything. Locking in a young superstar like Luka, we're watching the Dirk Nowitzki story all over again. And Luka seems like the guy that is a guy that want to go through the grind and stick with the grind and finish with an organization that drafted him. So I think this is a huge step. He's only 22 years of age, and he's already accomplished a lot in his young career. So getting him locked in, and that lets us, one, know that Luka wants to be in Dallas. And he's only going to get better. So, you know, it means everything for the Dallas Mavericks and Luka.
I'm going to use several words to describe what this is for the Dallas Mavericks and Luka. Number one, very obvious and predictable because he's a superstar in this league and you definitely were going to pay him. There is no doubt about that. But I'm also going to utter the word dangerous. And the word dangerous is very operative here. And here is why. Because you have Luka, first of all, he wasn't going anywhere because he wasn't turning down $207 million. Okay, so we all know that. I mean, newsflash, okay? He wasn't going anywhere. But here's what makes it dangerous, Rachel and Kendrick. The Dallas Mavericks have to get him help. We've seen it, particularly in recent history in the National Basketball Association, which we all know, where just because you sign that mega deal doesn't mean you're stuck with a team. You can demand to be out. You can force your way out. You don't have to stay in a desolate kind of situation if that's how you feel about it. And because you now have locked him up at $207 million over 5 years, that now places the pressure on primarily Mark Cuban and to a lesser degree, Jason Kidd, to get him the ideal talent around him that he wants. You know Kristaps Porzingis ain't that dude at this particular moment in time. They haven't necessarily vibed. And as you look at the rest of the roster, although they don't have scrubs, you don't have anybody that knocks your socks off that gives you an indication that you're going to be able to legitimately compete in the Western Conference. You're going to have to get him help. Otherwise, that same guy you're celebrating, giving this $207 million to, is the same guy that's going to say, get me the hell up out of here before long if you don't show him you're ready to change things around and get him some help.
Yeah, you're so right. I mean, we used to say, oh, they locked him down. You don't really actually lock anyone down anymore because there is such fluidity and players feel empowered to take control of their own destiny. I think it's going to be fascinating. We saw new GM Nico Harrison over in Slovenia to build that relationship, to actually sign the piece of paper. We saw Dirk Nowitzki in that contingent in Slovenia. I love the image of Dirk walking the streets there and all the people coming up to him. But I do think those ties are going to matter because Luka idolizes Dirk, right?
Rachel, let me say this real quick. Nico Harris coming over from Nike. He's well connected. I know him. You know him. He's got incredible relationships. The pressure might be on him to build a roster. But when we're talking about a bona fide star joining Luka Doncic, make no mistake about it. That's about Mark Cuban. You're the name. You're the face. You know, you don't get to pass that responsibility. And I'm not saying Mark's doing that. But you don't get to pass that over to Nico. You got to do it. Mark Cuban's name and cachet has to come in handy in that regard.
Well, I mean, couldn't we look at this situation for as like looking at the Milwaukee Bucks when you look at Giannis and the journey that he had to go through? Now, I know Giannis was the 15th pick and Luka was a lot higher, but Luka is only 22 years of age. It took, what, Giannis, 8 or 9 years till he finally reached that stage of winning the NBA championship and winning finals MVP. It took him 6 years to actually host up the trophy of winning the MVP award along with the Defensive Player of the Year award. So what I'm saying is they he still have a lot of time. So when I said, is this because of this, Stephen A., he's not a guy that's scratching the surface, not even scratching the surface of his prime yet. So he still have a lot of years. To me, if the Dallas Mavericks continue to regress, to progress, meaning if they get out of the first round this upcoming season and then go into the Western Conference Finals, now they're starting to look more like eye candy and you could attract more free agents.
Well, first of all. They ain't getting out of the first round. Let's just call it what it is. As presently constructed, they ain't getting out of the first round. Okay?
It's a long season, Stephen A. There could be trades.
But you know what I'm saying. Listen, it's like a soap opera. That's the beauty of being a soap opera guy. Because guess what? I get to tell a story while the story is being told. You see what
Overtime.
I'm saying?
You don't just get General Hospital man right there.
Exactly. It's like, what's going on right now? And you know they ain't getting out of that damn first round, Rachel, as presently constructed with all of those teams in the West. Number one. Number two, let's not forget what we've all had to report about Luka. We all fans of Luka. We like him a lot. They talk about him being temperamental, primarily with the officials, but the coach is gone. The general manager is gone. There's a new coach, a new GM in place. Luka's got something to do with that. He doesn't give you the impression that he knows he's 22 and he's got all the time in the world, so patience is a virtue to him. He don't seem to give a damn about that. He wants what he wants now. And that's where Mark Cuban is going to have to step in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this whole thing is a process, right?
That's right.
I think that we're just on the beginning of that part of this journey. As you said, Mr. Soap Opera, you have it down. I do want to get to Los Angeles, though, because Carmelo Anthony now officially part of Laker Nation. Melo signed a one-year free agent deal with the Lakers, joining, of course, his longtime friend LeBron James in the purple and gold. And yesterday, he talked about how it all came together. Take a listen.
You know, I was with Bron a couple of times, and I'm sure everybody thought we was talking about it, but we never had no conversation about it. You know, it's Bron came to me one time and just said, yo, the time is now. Like, I want you. We got to make this happen. And, you know, I took that information and took that, you know, that dialogue and took my time with it. I mean, most people would say we should have got together years ago or early in our career, but we was in two different lanes. We was in two different paths. We was on two different paths. And, you know, everything come full circle.
All right, so Stephen A. Melo says this was just the right time for it. Do you think this is the right roster for it, though? Do you think that this team, as it's constructed, can win a championship?
I think they could. I wouldn't say they're my favorites. I'm still going to go with Brooklyn. But when you acquire Malik Monk, Kendrick Nunn, Wayne Ellington, and Carmelo Anthony to pair with the big three, I don't have a problem with that. That's a team that can win the championship. Obviously, I'm going to still give a team like Brooklyn an edge, but I'm not going to look at the Los Angeles Lakers and say I definitively see a team in the Western Conference that can knock them off or that there's no way in hell they can win a championship. I certainly wouldn't say that.
Well, I just feel like they're built for the postseason, right? And when you look at a team like the Los Angeles Lakers with the veteran leadership, you got guys like Trevor Ariza, LeBron James, Dwight Howard that knows what it takes. And when you have a group of veterans that join together collectively, the word sacrifice comes to mind. And each one of those guys know that they have one goal, and that's to win a championship. And in the 7-game series, you have four guys that are capable of going for 30-plus, meaning carrying the load. That includes LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis, and even Melo. And the reason that the time is now is because Melo finally has embraced the role of being who he is at this stage of his career. And that's a guy that comes in off the bench and be a spark, a six-man type guy that's going to give 15, 16 points tonight.
He was so comfortable with himself in that press conference yesterday. Mm-hmm. It was really, really fun to watch.
Fun guy, what's up, baby?
What it do, baby?
Make, miss. It's a make or miss league, baby. That's it.
Like the man said, make clean living. Knicks, Pacers, Obi Toppin missing the corner three. But watch this, because it bounces around. Bounce, bounce, drop. Perk, who gets credit for that bucket?
Obi Toppin for even taking the shot. Look, it don't matter how it goes in. You have to give the man credit. He shot the ball in the discussion.
No, how the hell you going to give somebody credit that shot an air ball? I mean, stop. He shot an air ball. I mean, they granted it bounced off somebody's head and went into the rim, but it was an air ball.
Oh. Bounce.
What's happened to Kendrick Perkins? What's wrong with you?
We need more in-person time. More in-person time. That's the answer. Make tenacity. You guys got to check out the defense here. Davion Mitchell. This is, by the way, Perk came back to the building last night for this. Stephen A., who does he remind you of?
Well, right there, I would tell you anywhere from the glove to Spud Webb or Muggsy Bogues. Muggsy Bogues, not Spud Webb. Spud Webb was more offense. Muggsy Bogues was different. He got all up in you. Gene Smith from Georgetown. Remember that, Rachel Nichols?
Oh,
former Washington Post reporter? Yes, that dude.
I can do the rest of the show on that, but won't. I won't make everyone suffer through that.
I'm going to talk about somebody who got their jersey retired in Memphis called the Grindfather, Tony Allen. That's first team all defense right there. That's Tony Allen type mentality. Yeah. Getting into you and barking at you at the same time. Active hands.
But he wasn't short. And then get under you.
Miss, respect, let's go to the street and check out this block that Ball is Life posted. Take a look.
I mean,
this is concrete. You got to chill a little bit here.
Yeah.
But this is where you develop. This is where you develop those war wounds.
Yeah, but those kind of wounds men are allergic to. I'll just leave it at that. Those kind of wounds we definitely frown upon. We don't want that.
Well, this got us thinking, guys, about the most disrespectful dunks ever. So I think it's time for the music. It's time to run it back, friends. Let's take a listen. I love it. The dulcet tones of Run It Back. 2006, LeBron on Mo Williams.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Look at that face, too.
That was the young Bron, too.
Look at that face, Stephen A.
With all due respect, LeBron has never exactly looked young. But the point that I'm trying to make to you is that definitely so. That LeBron, you got to watch him on a break. He'll get anybody.
This is MJ.
Now that's disrespectful right there.
And this is Wizards MJ, mind you. So this is a 40-year-old man getting up on you.
Yes. That's a big one.
He still had a 30-inch vertical at that age is impressive.
You know going against the Bulls, too. Mission that night. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 2011, Stephen A. JaVale on Wes Matthews.
Oh, that's nasty right there. Yeah, just took it. He didn't even block it. He just snatched it.
But you got to, in the stare down.
There you go. Young JaVale. He did look young. There you go. 2004, Kobe on your guy, Ray Allen.
That was that.
Excuse me.
You know what? It was excuse me, but that block was, he was mad at Ray for beating him out of the row if he got game. So he
had to, I'll show you who's Jesus.
I don't know if Kobe was trying to act at that moment in time, though.
He was.
Look at that.
Lonzo Ellis on Brian Davis, 1994.
That's a good one right there. That's a good one. That was very disrespectful. I like that.
Well, that's the name of the game, and we're in a good city for that. Welcome back to The Jump. We are live from Sin City. I'm Rachel Nichols here with Kendrick Perkins, and Mr. Stephen A. Smith extraordinaire is joining us too. And I want to shift to the Eastern Conference, gentlemen. Sure. The Bucks look to run it back. Giannis and Milwaukee probably still celebrating their first NBA championship in 50 years. We're going to let them have it for a little while.
Yeah.
But there are other teams in the East who want a piece of that title, and they're going to make it a little bit tougher this coming season. Miami added Kyle Lowry, PJ Tucker. The Nets added Patty Mills. They've got their loaded lineup. They're giving everyone extensions. So, Stephen A., I'll start with you. Do you think there will be more or less pressure on the Bucks this coming season?
I think there's going to be less. The fact of the matter is Giannis is young and he's got plenty of time. He's already a two-time league MVP, a defensive player of the year, and obviously now a champion. He's delivered the goods and an NBA Finals MVP after an absolutely phenomenal epic performance in the closeout game six. When you look at them right now, they're going to play with considerably more ease. We're going to look at Middleton and Drew Holiday and expect more from them, because as good as they are, consistency is really their thing, not their skill. It's about their consistency that they got to deliver. We all know they can already ball both offensively and defensively. Giannis just has to continue to improve on his free throw shooting and his perimeter shooting. But there's nothing else that we look at, including his work ethic, that makes us question anything about Giannis. And because he's already a champion and we don't question those other things about his game, all we'll be looking for him to do is, you know, improve his perimeter shot and stuff like that. We ain't gonna be worried about, is he gonna show up in the clutch? Is it a big game and he's gonna be scared to show up? Oh, we know better than that now. We know better than
that. Yeah, we do know better than that. But I think it's a lot, I think it's more pressure for the simple fact that you have your big three intact. You spent $200+ million on Giannis. You locked in Drew Holiday. Chris Middleton is locked in, and they're considered a big three now. And now they want, people around the world want to make sure that this wasn't a one-hit wonder or a fluke. And I'm not saying that they have to go back and win a championship, but at the very minimum, they have to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals, okay? And be Yes, and be knocking at the doorstep of entering the finals. Look, you cannot come off of winning the championship with having Giannis Antetokounmpo, who arguably, we could argue, even though I would go with Kevin Durant, is arguably the best player in the game today. You cannot have a guy like Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton as your.
Lakers didn't make the finals this year. The Heat didn't make the finals this year.
It's happened before. It happens.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but it's pressure on them to at least bounce back, especially of the role that they had due to injury.
See, I got to agree with Stephen A. I think it will be harder this year, but less pressure, right? Because, again, Giannis has proven he can do it. The Bucks, they're not sitting with 50 years on their shoulders. And the way Giannis came through, to your point, Stephen, the way in the clutch he got it done, that's 17 of 19 from the free throw line in that closing game of the NBA Finals told me everything I needed to know about the way this guy handles challenges. He had arenas full of people making fun of him, right? Counting him down. And he looked them in the eye and said, no problem. Well, I'm going to show you. And he did.
Well, Rachel, let me be very clear, because there's a clear distinction between how you feel and how I feel in this regard. Yes. Okay. Yes, there's some pressure, and I totally agree with you more so than Kendrick Perkins on this. But let me also be very, very clear. The Milwaukee Bucks ain't repeating. I'll stay that right now. I don't believe they repeat. You talk about it's going to be tough on them. I don't think they win it.
You don't even think it's a discussion.
I'm thinking Brooklyn. That's how I'm looking at it right there. That's how I feel about it. And the only pressure, KP, that I'll say is this, with Giannis. Where we're going to be looking at him, Rachel and KP, is who he's going against. Like, against a team or whatever is different. But when you go up against KD, we're going to be like, what you got? If you go up against LeBron, we're going to be like, what you got? That kind of thing. That's all.
And here's the thing, and I'm not taking anything away from what they did this year as far as winning the championship, because a lot of teams had a lot of luck. But all I'm saying is that if they get to that moment again where they have a healthy Milwaukee Bucks team going against a healthy Brooklyn Nets team, people are going to want to see this. Yeah. People are going to want to see that same energy and see if they can overcome that. Because you know how it is sometimes. Some people be like, oh, that was fluke. They might not win it again. I just want them to, you know, go out there and handle their business.
We got our popcorn ready. This NBA season is going to be so fun.
Epic.
And Stephen A., it's right around the corner, by the way. Epic. So we'll give you a break right now. Thank you so much for joining us. But we will see you down the road for what will be an incredible season to come.
Thank y'all for having me. You ain't got to call me. Oh, I don't look old. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to call me, yo.
I've heard every reason of why I shouldn't be successful. When the pressure is really on you, I think what comes up out of your mouth is actually what's in your heart.
We can't let ourselves get in a hole and then try to dig out. It takes too much energy out of us. Don't get too cute out here. Stay serious, stay focused. It's been a long week. Hang in there, hang in with each other. Let's go compete.
You can't be offended easily. You gotta take the criticism or the praise, and you learn from each experience.
Welcome back to The Jump. We are thrilled to be here in Las Vegas at Summer League and now joined by that woman you just saw on your screen, the one, the only, the fabulous San Antonio Spurs assistant coach, six-time WNBA All-Star, Becky Hammon. Becky, I am just so thrilled you are with us. We've had cross ships for much of this season, and I want to start by going back to your WNBA roots, because the first WNBA Commissioner's Cup Championship is coming up on this Thursday. The Storm are playing the Sun. The players on the winning team each get $30,000. So, Becky, just let's jump into it. What are your thoughts on these kinds of in-season tournaments? Is it something you want to see in your league and in the NBA?
I do. I love it. I know it's new to America and new to the WNBA. I know the NBA is tossing it around a little bit. But I can tell you, playing overseas, these girls have done this every year. You know, if you're in Spain, you're playing in the Queen's Cup. And I think it's just another chance to put competitive basketball in front of people. I think it's something the players really enjoy, and kind of a championship inside of a championship. They're super fun. Anytime you get to play for a championship, whether it's in season or obviously at the end of the season, is exciting. And I'm really looking forward to obviously watching the Storm and the Sun here on Thursday on Prime Video.
Well, Perk is always one of the first ones to point out that the NBA usually follows the path that the WNBA lays out for it. Right, Perk?
So yeah, I mean, that happens in life, period. Men follow the women. That's how it goes.
Absolutely. Now, Becky, when people say your name, the almost immediate follow-up is usually, so when will she be a head coach? So I guess I want to know how much time and energy you give to that line of thinking on the day-to-day.
On the day-to-day, obviously, I try to not think about all that stuff. I'm trying to be the best coach that I can be. And I think if I make that my number one priority, everything else kind of falls into place. Obviously, all these jobs, you know, people say, oh, there's only 30 jobs. It's like, no, there's not 30 jobs. There's maybe three or four. Those jobs are not all available. It's a super competitive field. There's a lot of great coaches in the NBA, obviously. And so it's just competitive. I mean, male, female, it doesn't really matter. It's competitive. And I think for me, is there another element being a female in this kind of element of it's never been done? We don't really know what that looks like or feels like. Okay, there's that. But at the end of the day, I want to be hired on my coaching credentials and just be, you know, you're bringing in Coach Hammon for an interview. I think that's the best way to go about it.
Well, Coach Hammon, big Perk here, and I mean literally big Perk here, okay? Look, I'm a huge fan of yours. I know we never formally met, but I watch you from a distance. I watch the way that you have been coaching, especially men, the NBA, right? Demanding presence, demanding your respect, the way that you go about not afraid to get in guys' faces or holding guys accountable. I'm a huge fan of that, despite knowing your X's and O's. I just want to know, I feel like, first of all, I want to tell you this. Right? Your time is coming sooner than later. I strongly believe that.
Yes.
But I want to ask you a question about your process as far as you getting those interviews, especially with Portland. Like, how did it feel? What did you have to go through? Like, and some of the things that you felt like, you know, the questions that were asked that in your next interview, you feel like you could get better at and go in there and capitalize and really seize the moment.
Well, I think it's just like with anything. The more you do it, the better you get at it. Anytime I get to dive into a team, just personnel wise, I mean, it's beneficial to me as a coach, whether I get the job or not. You know, you really become in tune with players, player tendencies, coaching tendencies. And so that's beneficial. Things to take away, you know, you got to take a lot of notes. I feel like writing things down. I would have said this differently, or I would want to go back and say, hey, I would like to do things this way. So it's always a learning process. And at the end of the day, Perk, I feel like if you're looking for a reason to hire me, you'll find that reason. And vice versa, if you're looking for a reason to not hire me, you can find that reason too. And it's a super competitive field. And like I said, you have the best of the best, you know, trying to get into these positions. And there's not very many. You know, and so when you start to really narrow down the field of teams and cities, right, cities that would be okay with hiring
right.
a woman, because it's entertainment. Yeah, and we need the fan. So there's always that element. My main priority, like I said, is just to keep improving, getting better, honing my skills and craft, and keep plugging along. I mean, I don't know any other way to do it. That's been my whole career. Like, you fall down, you just get back up, you keep moving forward, you learn what you can, you know, chew on the meat and spit out the bones. That's all anybody can do.
I got to take that.
We have watched you put your head down and work over and over, Becky, in so many situations. And a former Summer League victor as a head coach with your Spurs team that you coached here and back here to work more with the guys. We wish you the best of luck with the whole San Antonio organization. We cannot wait to once again watch you work this season. Thanks so much for joining us.
Appreciate
Thanks, guys. See you soon.
What have you been up to this summer? Anything fun and unusual? Because I know you've been working on your game.
I learned a new, I got a new hobby, bowling. I'm really good at bowling now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very. Like strikes?
Yeah.
Bumpers or no?
Man, come on, man. Like 200. I'm bowling 200 for sure.
Okay, that's not what we talked about pre-interview. Tell me about Lake Minnetonka.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, I got baptized in Lake Minnetonka. I hit a couple backflips, you know, swimming. I'm going back out there real soon. Meet me at Lake Minnetonka, all Minnesota fans. I'm going back out there, jet skis, everything. We're going to have fun.
Can you swim?
Yeah, like Michael Phelps.
Like Michael Phelps?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, guys, before this gets out of hand, that's Anthony Edwards. In case you didn't know, there's nothing he can't do.
Yeah. Multi-talented, baby.
That was our fabulous Monica McNutt with the interview there. Anthony Edwards is enjoying his summer perk. The second-year guard always has fun, and he's got the most deadpan sound bites. He's fantastic.
Absolutely. He's the most interesting player in sports, in my opinion, and I want to hang out with him for a day. No, seriously. It just looks like it's never a dull moment with him.
Well, who's the funniest teammate you played with?
You know what? It had to be Gary Payton.
Okay.
And not because he was funny naturally, but he would just shoot slugs out there that just happened to turn out to be funny.
There you
go. Just embarrassing moments.
I think the Timberwolves locker room is going to be a good place this season.
Moses Moody, what he did in college, as far as him being able to move without the ball, spot up shots, great slasher, a guy that don't need the ball in his hands to be successful. He fits right into this Golden State offense.
Welcome back to The Jump. We are live from Las Vegas. We're here at Summer League. I'm Rachel Nichols with Kendrick Perkins, and we are now joined by the man you just saw, Warriors rookie Moses Moody. See, Perk, we're gonna practice throughout the segment. Mm-hmm. He's just down the road from us at the Las Vegas Basketball Center, which the Warriors have exclusively rented out for the 2 weeks there in Las Vegas. Moses, you're already learning Golden State, a first-class organization. And I got to start with the obvious here. When Perk called your name, or several versions of your name, on draft night, what was your reaction?
It was funny, you know, just hearing that everybody was sending it to me. So it was a running on joke. It's still going on.
Yeah, hey, Moses, look, you know one thing I was trying to tell the world how great of a player that you are. And I watched you throughout college. And I kept saying with every pick that was going after the fifth pick, I was saying, you know what, they need to take Moses Moody. All right, they didn't take him. I was like, look, take Moses Moody. And when you finally got your name called at that one moment, I couldn't, you know. That's neither here nor there. Look, at the end of the day, you were going to make a household name for yourself anyway because, you know, you obviously how talented you are on the basketball court. But I think I just added a little spice. Now you're a household name. Everybody know who Moses Moody is.
That's right.
Even my grandmother.
Yeah, for sure.
You got Perk's grandma, Moses. That's all you need. That's all you need. Now, you're just at the beginning of Summer League, but how would you describe your experience up to this point? You are a professional NBA basketball player.
Man, it's a lot of fun just going through the day-to-day workouts and just being in the facilities. It's a whole new life, nothing I've ever experienced before. So I'm glad to be here, excited to be here.
Nice.
You know, hey, Moses, look, I watched you all throughout college, and I just want to know, you know, with a player coming to a team like the Golden State Warriors, right? You got Steph Curry, one of the greatest players of all time. Well, he's going to go down as one of the greatest players of all time. That culture, playing with Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, how excited are you to be a part of that organization, and how excited are you to get on the court and actually play with those guys?
I mean, to be honest, I'm a 19-year-old kid, so I've been watching the whole dynasty of the Golden State Warriors the last couple of years and seeing what they've been doing from my house every year. So just to be in the environment, actually be a part of this is something special.
There's pressure that comes with that too, Moses, though. I mean, these guys want to win another title. I am sure you have followed all of the conversation about Steph's timeline, right? And the idea that they need rookies who can contribute right away. So what do you feel you need to do to be part of that and possibly part of a championship run right as a rookie?
That's a good question, Rachel. I feel like pressure is just motivation to perform. So that's just more motivation for me to get in the gym and working on perfecting the smaller details that I have to be perfect on to really get on the floor. Because, you know, I probably won't have that much leeway being a young guy. I gotta come out and really make an effect, make a difference in the game in a short period of time. So that's just going to motivate me to put the extra work in and be the best player I can.
Well, you've got great resources in all the guys in Golden State, but you've got one here, too. I got to brag on Perk for a minute. Is there anything you want to ask an NBA vet who has seen and done anything, Moses, and won a title?
Most definitely. Honestly, that was probably my favorite team of all time with Rajon Rondo, Ray Allen, KP. Yeah, that was my squad. So, I mean, I know you're a champion. So what I would say as a young guy, what does it take to really be a part of a championship winning team?
You know what? It's special. And here's the thing, right? As a young guy, you want to come in and you have individual expectations for yourself, as you should. You should want to make an all-star game. You should want to make an all-NBA team. You should want to make the all-rookie team. But when you come to a situation that you have a chance, an opportunity to win a championship, then the word sacrifice means the most, right? And all you have to do is be a star in your role. So when Steve Kerr or whoever the coaches are that are in your ear that are teaching you on a day-to-day basis, they come to you and say, hey, Moses, we expect this out of you. We want this out of you on the offensive end. We want you to run this through the sets on defensively. We expect this from you. Just be a star in your role, and everything else will fall in its place.
I love that. Perk, sure, that's excellent advice. And here's the thing I know about you, Moses, just from reading up on you. You're a Renaissance man. You've had interest in the law at one point, becoming a lawyer or a judge. I know you've interest in computer programming and coding. You are going to fit right into that locker room, especially get that locker next to Andre Iguodala, because he is similarly curious about the world, and I think he will be just fine. Thank you so much for joining us. And Perk, do you want to say his name one more time before we go?
Yeah, Moses Moody. I know. He was one of my favorite players in college. I'm excited to watching him, okay? Watching him. All right, Rachel. Look.
Moses, good luck to you. We're so, so thrilled.
There was excitement like we've never had here in Las Vegas.
Are you ready for the summer? Cause summer's not ready.
I think you're ready for the main event. Come and get it, baby. Play to win.
Oh yeah, it's time to get in the gym.
Do it, James. Oh.
To the Kupo.
Oh, that got people standing up.
Are you kidding me? This is Summer League.
It shows exactly why he was the number one pick.
Now here's Durant. Sneaks by Maxinelli and delivers.
Are you ready for the summer? Cause summer's not ready for me.
I'm hype watching that. Welcome back to The Jump. We are at Summer League. Look at these games we got going on tonight. Celtics Nuggets, 7 o'clock Eastern. Pistons Rockets. That is going to be a
smoke
burner between the top two picks, Cade Cunningham and Jalen Green. And speaking of top picks, we are excited to be joined by the number 5 pick for the Orlando Magic, Jalen Suggs, back here on The Jump. Jalen, we love when you come on, and I want to talk about the night you had here in Las Vegas last night. Your Summer League debut against the Warriors. You wasted no time, my friend, putting on a show. 24 points, 9 rebounds, a key block to force overtime. Obviously, a huge part of the 91-89 victory. So how did it feel? You're in an NBA uniform. You are an NBA player out there with your team for the first time.
It was surreal. It was so much fun. Just being out there, you know, kind of getting in the rhythm again. I hadn't played a 5-on-5 game really since the national championship game. So, you know, getting out there, getting my feet under myself, you know, getting comfortable with the game, it felt good to be back.
Hey, Jalen, big perk here, man. Huge fan. I'm loving what you're doing. I think the future is bright for you. I want to ask you a question, right? Being a former football player, Mr. Football in the state of Minnesota, along with Mr. Basketball, I want to ask you about how did football help your IQ, your vision, your game when it comes along for you being the floor general that you are, being able to see the floor?
I think it helped it tremendously, you know, making it so that when I get on the court, you know, it's just acting instinctually, you know, it's natural, you know, being a quarterback, you know, dropping back in the pocket, seeing different windows, different passing angles, you know, throwing guys to open spots. And then defensively, you know, being a DB, just going up and playing passing lanes, reading defenders, you know, where their hips are turned, where they're looking, things like that. So I think, you know, it carries over well to the basketball court, and you know, you see it all the time in the plays I make.
You know, I just want to say before I say anything else, I forgive you. You made me have to apologize to Baylor in the national championship game because I picked y'all, but I know what a special talent you are and what a special team that was last season at Gonzaga. Having said all of that, I'm not going to lie to you, man. I didn't even have you top five. I had you top three. I just think that you're that special, that you're that kind of a special talent. And I'm wondering what you see of yourself on this level, considering the way the game is played in this day and age. Do you view yourself as a two? Do you view yourself as a one? What do you want to do? What position do you want to play on the NBA level?
First of all, I appreciate that. That's extremely high praise. But man, I think coming in, you know, just being myself, you know, I think a one or two, I don't think, you know, I can be labeled as either one. You know, I think at Gonzaga, you know, I had a great cast around me, guys who could score, you know, Drew, Andrew, Corey, Joel, you know, guys like that. So I really just came in trying to facilitate, you know, be the leader, be the point guard, you know, to get all them in great spots to succeed. You know, and now coming in, you know, just now being able to showcase my scoring, you know, something that I wasn't really able to do, you know, that I feel like I have supreme confidence in. So I think, you know, coming into this next level, you know, just being comfortable, being myself, you know, being to play my game, and really just have fun with it, you know, and really, really try to thrive.
Jalen, thank you so much. It is just electric in that in this building watching you last night. I think we've got a lot more of that in the NBA from you. We cannot wait. Good luck the rest of Summer League.
Good luck, young fellow.
Thank you. I appreciate all you guys.
Keep doing it.
And a thank you to Stephen A. as well. Got to come back for the extra block. That was fun. All right, crunch time here now. We begin with some birthday wishes. Grizzly star Ja Morant. He's only 22, people. He's already racked up the third most points in franchise history. Kendrick, when does Ja graduate from star to superstar? Because we're real close if we're not there already.
He already did that. He did that during this, the last part of the end of the season, right, what he showed us as far as those numbers he was putting up in a play-in tournament. And by the way, happy birthday, Ja. I have the dog on his way. I just didn't want to give you anything from Big Perk Kennels for his Frenchies. But look, have a blessed day. And congratulations also on your Ja Morant day down in South Carolina. Keep doing your thing, young fella.
Amen. And the young core they have, Perk, you've got him, Jaren Jackson Jr. You've got all those bright stars, Dylan Brooks. So what do you feel like if you had, you think they're going to playoff team this year again?
Absolutely, they're getting in. Look, when you have a leader like Ja Morant, a guy that's one of the ultimate floor generals, I keep telling y'all, Rachel, he's a combination of Russell Westbrook as far as his athleticism, his passing ability like Rondo, and he has that ball on the string like Kyrie Irving. Don't at me and carry on.
That's pretty great. I mean, the way the West stacks up, it is going to be so competitive, and it is a free-for-all this year. There's really no favorite, although the people in LA, both teams, might have something to say about that. Kendrick, thanks so much for joining me at Summer League.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. We're going to be off tomorrow, but we'll be back here.